माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी। जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी। यशोदा नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरवन चारी यमुना तीरवन चारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी। जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी। यशोदा नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरावन चारी यमुना तीरावन चारी। जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Jaya Krishna Balaram, Jaya Krishna Balaram, Krishna Balaram, Jaya Krishna Balaram. Jaya Radha Shyam Sundara, Radha Shyam Sundara Radhe. Jaya Gauranitai, Jaya Gauranitai, Gauranitai, Jaya Gauranitai. Jaya Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Jaya Prabhupada. Nitai Gaura Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Nitai Gaura Hari Bol. Jayom Vishnupad Paramhansa Parivrajaka Acharya Shtotar Satya. His Divine Grace Abhay Charana Aravinda Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jaya. Shri Shri Krishna Balaram Ki Jaya. Shri Shri Radha Shyam Sundar Ki Jaya. Shri Shri Gaur Nitai Ki Jaya. Srimad Bhagavad Gita Ki Jaya. Nitai Gaur Premanande. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories, all glories, all glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavad Gita, Chapter 15, The Yoga of the Supreme Person, Text 7.
Mama Eva Anshaha Jiva Loke Jiva Bhutaha Sanatanaha Manaha Shasthani Indriyani Prakriti Sthani Karshati. ममैवांशो जीवलोके जीवभूतः सनातनः मनः षष्ठानीन्द्रियाणि प्रकृतिस्थानि कर्षति ममैवांशो जीवलोके जीवभूतः सनातनः मनः षष्ठानीन्द्रियाणि प्रकृतिस्थानि कर्षति ममैवांशो जीवलोके जीवभूतः सनातनः मनः षष्ठानीन्द्रियाणि प्रकृतिस्थानि कर्षति.
प्लीज चैंट.
इन्द्रियाणि प्रकृतिस्थानि कर्षति ममैवांशो जीवलोके जीवभूतः सनातनः मनः षष्ठानि इन्द्रियाणि प्रकृतिस्थानि कर्षति ममैवांशो जीवलोके जीवभूतः सनातनः षष्ठानीन्द्रियाणि प्रकृतिस्थानि कर्षति.
मताजिस् एनीवन्?
ममैवांशो जीवलोके जीवभूतः सनातनः मनः षष्ठानीन्द्रियाणि प्रकृतिस्थानि कर्षति ममैवांशो जीवलोके जीवभूतः सनातनः मनः षष्ठानीन्द्रियाणि प्रकृतिस्थानि कर्षति.
मम माय एव सर्टन्ली अंशः फ्रेग्मेंटल पार्टिकल जीवलोके इन द वर्ल्ड ऑफ कंडीशनल लाइफ जीवभूतः द कंडीशन्ड लिविंग एंटिटी सनातनः इटर्नल मनः विथ द माइंड षष्ठानि द सिक्स इंद्रियाणि सेंसेस प्रकृति इन मटेरियल नेचर स्थानि सिचुएटेड कर्षति इज स्ट्रगलिंग हार्ड. ट्रांसलेशन बाय श्रील प्रभुपाद. The living entities in this conditioned world are my eternal fragmental parts. Due to conditioned life, they are struggling very hard with the six senses, which include the mind. Purport. In this verse, the identity of the living entity is clearly given. The living entity is the fragmental part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, eternally. It is not that he assumes individuality in his conditional life and in his liberated state becomes one with the Supreme Lord. He is eternally fragmented. It is clearly said, Sanatanah. According to the Vedic version, the Supreme Lord manifests and expands himself in innumerable expansions, of which The primary expansions are called Vishnu Tattva and the secondary expansions are called the living entities. In other words, the Vishnu Tattva is the personal expansion and the living entities are the separated expansions. By his personal expansion, he is manifested in various forms like Lord Ram, Narsingadev, Vishnumurti and all the predominating deities in the Vaikuntha planets. The separated expansions, the living entities, are eternally servitors. The personal expansions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the individual identities of the Godhead, are always present. Similarly, the separated expansions of the living entities have their identities. As fragmental parts and parcels of the Supreme Lord, the living entities also have fragmental portions of His qualities, of which independence is one. Every living entity as an individual soul has his personal individuality and a minute form of independence. By misuse of that independence, one becomes a conditioned soul. And by proper use of independence, he is always liberated. In either case, he is qualitatively eternal, as the Supreme Lord is. In his liberated state, he is freed from this material condition, and he is under the engagement of transcendental service unto the Lord. In his conditioned life, he is dominated by the material modes of nature, and he forgets the transcendental loving service of the Lord. As a result, he has to struggle very hard to maintain his existence in this world, in the material world. The living entities, not only human beings and the cats and dogs, but even the greater controllers of the material world, Brahma, Lord Shiva, and even Vishnu, are all parts and parcels of the Supreme Lord. They are all eternal, not temporary manifestations. The word karshati, struggling or grappling hard, is very significant. The conditioned soul is bound up as though shackled by iron chains. He is bound up by the false ego, and the mind is the chief agent which is driving him in this material existence. When the mind is in the mode of goodness, his activities are good. When the mind is in the mode of ignorance, when the mind is in the mode of passion, his activities are troublesome. And when the mind is in the mode of ignorance, he travels in the lower species of life. It is clear, however, in this verse that the conditioned soul is covered by the material body with the mind and the senses, and when he is liberated, this material covering perishes. But his spiritual body manifests itself in its individual capacity. The following information is there in the Madhyandrinayana Shruti. Sava esh brahmanishtha idam shariram martyam atisrijya brahmabhi sampadya brahmana pashyati brahmana shrinoti brahmanevedam sarvam anubhavati. It is stated here that when a living entity gives up this material embodiment and enters into the spiritual world, he revives his spiritual body. And in his spiritual body, he can seek the Supreme Personality of Godhead face to face. He can hear and speak to him face to face, and he can understand the Supreme Personality as he is. From Smriti also, it is understood, Vasanti yatra purushah sarve vaikuntha murtayah. In the spiritual planets, everyone lives in bodies featured like the Supreme Personality of Godheads. As far as bodily construction is concerned, there is no difference between the part and parcel living entities and the expansions of Vishnumurti. In other words, at liberation, the living entity gets a spiritual body by the grace of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The words Mamayavanshaha, fragmental parts and parcels of the Supreme Lord, are also very significant. The fragmental portions of the Supreme Lord is not like some material broken part. We have already understood in the second chapter that the spirit cannot be cut into pieces. This fragment is not materially conceived. It is not like matter, which can be cut into pieces and joined together again. That conception is not applicable here, because the Sanskrit word Sanatan, eternal, is used. The fragmental portion is eternal. It is also stated in the beginning of the second chapter that in each and every individual body, the fragmental portion of the Supreme Lord is present. Dehinosmin yatha dehe. That fragmental portion, when liberated from the bodily entanglement, revives its original spiritual body in the spiritual sky, in a spiritual planet, and enjoys association with the Supreme Lord. It is, however, understood here that the living entity, being the fragmental part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, is qualitatively one with the Lord, just as the parts and parcels of gold are also gold. Please repeat the translation. The living entities in this conditioned world are my eternal fragmental parts. Due to conditioned life, they are struggling very hard with the six senses, which include the mind. Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Vishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kada Mahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yudapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sakrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padang Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Shri Mate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitinamine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langhayate Girim Yat Kripatam Aham Vande Shri Gurum Dinatarana Vanshakalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namane Gauratvishe Namaha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama Rama, Rama Hare 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 Krishna. This is a very important verse in the Bhagavad Gita. It is one of the main verses that describes the Jiva Tattva. Tattva means truth or principle. Like in the purport, Prabhupada has used the word Vishnu Tattva. So all entities or personalities in the God category, Vishnu category, are called Vishnu Tattva. Similarly, all living entities in our category, who are the spirit soul are called Jiva Tattva. Then there is Shiva Tattva, there is Shakti Tattva. So these are different principles or categories of existence. So this verse clearly points out the nature of the Jiva Tattva. The first thing it points out about the Jiva Tattva is that the living entities, that is all of us, and as Prabhupada points out, right up to Brahma, we are all parts and parcels of the Supreme Lord. Now this is one important verse for refuting Mayavad. Mayavad philosophy is a big subject, but in essence, some of the things that Mayavad says is as follows. The very word Mayavad comes from the theory that the form of the Lord is Maya. Our body is made of matter and we ourselves are spirit souls. So there is a difference between our soul and our body. So our body is a material body made of Maya, made of the material energy. So when the Lord comes into this material world, he has clearly emphasized that he comes in his spiritual body, in his original spiritual body. His descent is under the purview of the spiritual energy. Ajopi san avyayatma bhutanam ishvaropi san prakritim svamadishthaya sambhavami atma mayaya. So he comes here, sambhavami, by atma mayaya, by his own internal potency, in his own form, as he is in his original spiritual form. He doesn't come here assuming a material body like us. So the Mayavadis do not understand this point, and they say that God's body is also material like our bodies, and therefore this term Mayavad. Many times devotees mistakenly think Mayavad to mean a philosophy of enjoying this world, or rather being in Maya. So if somebody is enjoying sense gratification, I've heard devotees say, well, he's a Mayavadi. He's a Mayavadi, meaning that he's under the clutches of Maya and is enjoying sense gratification. But that is not what Mayavadi means. If a person is enjoying sense gratification, then we can simply say that he's in Maya, not that he's a Mayavadi, because that means something different. So this is one of the things that Mayavad says. The other thing that Mayavad says is that the individual living entity is actually also the Supreme Brahman. It says that all that exists is the impersonal Supreme Brahman, that is spiritual. And everything else, including this material world and the jiva, are all illusions. The material world doesn't exist. It's a dream, it's an illusion. The living entity's individuality is also an illusion. The only reality is Brahman. Brahma Satya Jagat Mithya. So they say the only reality in the world is Brahman, and this material world is false. And the names and forms and identities of this world are also false. So their theory says that the Supreme Brahman is there everywhere, but when it comes under the control of Maya, under the influence of Maya, then it becomes a jiva. And when that jiva is again released from the influence of Maya, it once again comes back to the stage of Brahman. So the Mayavadis say that actually the jiva is always Brahman. It's just that for a while, a portion of the Brahman comes under illusion. And therefore that portion imagines itself to be something separate and individual. So individuality, according to Mayavad, is an illusion. We are not separate individuals, but we are all one Supreme Brahman, portions of which have got temporarily covered over, separated and covered over by Maya, so that every so-called individual thinks he is an individual.
but it's not so. There are two principles. This is explained in the Chaitanya Charitamrita and the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya and to others, and explained by Srila Prabhupada in his purports in various places. He says the Mayavad theory with regard to the identity of the soul has two aspects. There are two arguments that they give. One is called Parichedavad. Pariched means a division. Vad means a theory or argument. So they say that the Supreme Brahman is divided. Pariched means to divide. Just like there is the sky, and when you make a pot, then a portion of the sky is divided and limited by that pot, because inside that pot also is the sky. The sky is outside, it's also inside the pot. And when you break the pot, what happens? The sky inside the pot merges with the sky outside the pot. It's all one sky. Ghatakash, patakash. That's their theory. Ghata means a pot. So when you break the pot, then the sky inside is the same as the sky outside. Actually, even otherwise the sky is the same. But it's only that the sky is temporarily limited and divided into that area within the pot. So similarly, they say that when the living entity attains liberation, then that jiva, so-called jiva, actually again merges back into the Supreme Brahman. He's already the Supreme Brahman, but now he merges back. Another argument in the same connection that they give is called Pratibimbavad. Pratibimba means a reflection. They give the example of the sun or any other object reflected on a body of water. So they say that the Supreme Brahman is one, the original object, and all the living entities that we see in the world are like reflections. So when you remove the surface of reflection, like the water for example, then the reflection goes away, disappears. So actually there is only that object, the reflection is only there temporarily. In the same way, they say all jivas are just reflections of the original Brahman. And when the Brahman is destroyed, or rather when the surface of reflection is destroyed and the jiva comes to the point of knowledge and liberation, then there is no more reflection, there is only one original object. So that is how they define the word Ansha. When Krishna says here, Mama Eva Anshaha, that the living entity Jiva Bhuta is certainly Eva, Mama, My, Ansha, part and parcel. So the Mayavadis explain the word Ansha in this way, either by the Parichedavad or by the Pratibimbavad, the theory of division or the theory of reflection. And then how do the Vaishnava Acharyas counter this or refute this point? They use this verse. One of the arguments they use, the important arguments, is this verse, where they say that this conception of Ansha that the Mayavadis have is refuted by the word Sanatan here. Sanatan means eternal. No doubt the living entity is a part and parcel of the Supreme Brahman, but it is eternally a fragmental part. It remains a part always. It's not that the living entity is a part now and later becomes the whole, or that at some point in time the living entity was the whole, now it has become the part, and again tomorrow it will become the whole. No. It is eternally the part, it was always the part, it is the part now, and it will always remain so in the future. Na jayate mriyate va kadache nayam bhutva bhavita vana bhuya ajo nityo shashvato yam purano na hanyate hanyamane sharire. So Krishna explains in the beginning of the Bhagavad Gita, in the second chapter, na jayate, that the soul never has birth, na mriyate, he never dies, nor having once been does he ever cease to be. Similarly, in the same second chapter, also in the 12th verse, Krishna explains, Natvevaham jatunasam natvam neme janadipa na chayvan na bhavishyama sarve vayam atah param. He says, oh my dear Arjuna, never was there a time when I did not exist, nor you, nor all these kings, nor will there ever be a time when any of us will cease to exist. So when he talks about the kings or Arjuna existing before and in the future, obviously he is not talking about the body. He is talking about the soul. So he says, never was there a time when all of us didn't exist, and never will there be a time when all of us will cease to exist. In other words, Krishna, even in that 12th verse of the second chapter, is establishing that the jiva is eternally an individual, that the individuality of the jiva is never destroyed. And that same point is emphasized here in the 15th verse, 15th chapter, 7th verse, by the use of the word sanatana. So if the Mayavadis interpret the word ansha by parichedvad or pratibimbavad like this, as I described, then the Vaishnavacharyas counter it by the simple use of this one word sanatana. That is eternally like this. So how does that counter the Mayavad idea? Because even in the Vaishnav conception there is liberation, and still the jiva is sanatana. In the Mayavad conception, after liberation, the jiva goes, it becomes Brahman once again. Many times, many sadhus and spiritual speakers, they speak from Bhagavad Gita, and many devotees come and say, well, he's speaking exactly our philosophy. But we should beware. It's not at all our philosophy. It's not the correct philosophy. It just appears so, because he speaks Bhagavad Gita, he speaks Krishna, and so on. And many times they juggle the words in such an intelligent way that the listeners may get overwhelmed by the so-called scholarship of the speaker, and they start accepting anything that the speaker says. So the key question to ask, the two key questions to ask any spiritual speaker or believer before you can understand where he stands is, number one, who is God? Give a clear definition of the absolute truth. Mostly people will reveal their real spiritual convictions in this first question. And then the second question you ask is, what happens after liberation? This is the important question. Mayavadis say that the jiva doesn't exist, he merges back into the Brahman. Ask, does the individuality of the jiva exist after liberation or not? The Vaishnavas will answer with an emphatic yes. Individuality is eternal. The jiva after liberation, after real liberation, when he becomes a pure devotee of the Lord, as Srila Prabhupada says in the purport, is transferred to the spiritual world. He gets a pure spiritual body and he lives face to face with the Supreme Lord, associates with him personally, and participates in his wonderful transcendental pastimes eternally. So his identity is completely spiritual. It is not destroyed. Whereas the Mayavadis say that the individual identity, first of all, is an illusion. Even when you're living in an unliberated state, it's still an illusion. And liberation means the destruction of that illusion. And you realize, I'm Brahman. Incidentally, that also means that Maya is more powerful than Brahman. Otherwise, how will Brahman come under the influence of Maya to become the jiva? So, and the jiva has to struggle against Maya, to overcome Maya to become Brahman once again. So that means that Maya is more powerful than Brahman. So it is Maya that is God rather than Brahman. So that is a basic flaw in the Mayavad philosophy. So in any case, we understand that the living entity will go on into the liberated condition and become actually healthy. A sick person is usually not so active. When he becomes healthy, he resumes his normal condition of activity. He really starts moving about a lot. So the Mayavad philosophy is akin to saying that after becoming healthy and after becoming cured of disease, we become completely inactive. Now it's a diseased condition. Because we don't know who we are. Spiritually we are diseased. So diseased condition, it's all right to say we are inactive. And that when we get liberated, we will become really active. But the Mayavadis say the opposite. That the so-called activity of the Brahman is there only in the bound state, the conditioned state. And in the liberated state, there is inactivity. Because you're Brahman, there's Om Shanti only. So that's not possible. But the living entity actually becomes healthy, actually becomes very, very active in Krishna's service. In fact, his real life begins after liberation. The real business of life starts at the point of liberation. As Prabhupada explains in the purport, there are two kinds of parts and parcels of the Supreme Lord. One are the Vishnu Tattvas and the other are the Jiva Tattvas. The Vishnu Tattvas are called the Svansha, Sva-Ansha. They are in the same category of the Supreme Lord. Sva means self. Sva-Ansha, his own parts and parcels directly. And the Jivas are called the Vibhinna-Ansha. Vibhinna-Ansha means the separated parts and parcels. So the Svanshas are the Vishnu Tattvas and all the incarnations and expansions of the Lord. And the Vibhinanshas are all the Jivas. So the Mayavad conception is being countered in this verse. The Jiva has free will. The Jiva chooses to come here to this material world, which is full of struggle. The Jiva has to constantly struggle against the stringent laws of material nature with his mind and the six senses and the five senses. And ultimately, when he comes to the point of knowledge, he can go beyond and become liberated. The Mayavad philosophy also puts forward the theory of what is called Vivartavad as opposed to Parinamvad. Again, this is there in the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. So I would urge everyone to really study Srila Prabhupada's books very carefully. Even if you read teachings of Lord Chaitanya, it's a separate book. There's so much of our basic philosophy there. And you study it. Sit down with the teachings of Lord Chaitanya and study it and take notes. And actually you will understand the entire Gaudiya Vaishnava Siddhanta, the philosophy, in its essence, in this book. Along with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Without Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we cannot understand the truths. So Mahaprabhu explains that Vyasadeva, when he wrote the Vedanta, he put forward the philosophy of what is called Parinamvad. Parinam means transformation. The transformation of the energies of the Lord. That all that we see around us is the transformation of the energy of the Lord. For example, the material world is a transformation of the material energy of the Lord. The Jivatmas are the transformation of the Tatastha Shakti, the marginal energy of the Lord. So whatever we see around us is a transformation not of the Lord himself, but of the Lord's energies. It is not the Lord who is transformed. It is only the Lord's energies which are transformed, unlimitedly. But the Lord remains the same. How is that possible? Mahaprabhu gives a very simple analogy of a touchstone. A touchstone can change so many things and produce so many things, even in this world. But the touchstone remains itself. It doesn't change. So even in an ordinary object of this material world, if this can happen, then why not with the Supreme Lord? So the Supreme Lord has infinite energies, and His energies are being constantly transformed. The names, forms, etc. of these objects keep changing, but the Lord remains as He is, unchangeable. Om Purnamadha Purnam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnam Evavashishyate. So the Ishupanishad describes this concept that the Lord is a source of everything, and He produces so many things by His energy. The energies change, but the Lord doesn't change. But the Mayavadis have the conception of Vivartavad, where they say that actually it is not the Lord that changes, but it is the illusion that the Lord that changes. It's that illusion of thinking that a rope to be a snake, of thinking illusion to be a reality. It's called Vivartavad. But the Vaishnavas counter this by saying, but even if you think the rope is a snake, but there is a rope, there is something there. It's only that you have mistaken the identity of the rope. But you can't say that nothing exists. The Mayavadis say there's nothing existing. This universe doesn't exist. But the Vaishnavas say, no, it exists. The Mayavadis will say this body doesn't exist. But the Vaishnavas say, no, it exists. But to think yourself to be the body, that is Vivartava. That's the real Vivartava. That is illusion. Because we are not this body. We are the spirit soul. So to think that I am this body is illusion. But it doesn't mean that the body itself is an illusion. The body exists because it is made up of the material energy. So in this way, Mahaprabhu teaches Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and later Prakashananda Saraswati the basic teachings of the Vedanta. When Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya made Chaitanya Mahaprabhu listen to him for 7 days continuously, his lectures on the Vedanta, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu simply kept quiet. He did not utter a word. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was the king of the Mayavadis, an exceptional scholar, well-renowned throughout the whole country. And when he spoke, he was so erudite, he was just going on and on and on and on. For 7 days he spoke continuously. Anybody else would have been overwhelmed by the scholarship of the Bhattacharya, but not Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. At the end of the 7 days, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya asked Mahaprabhu, I have been speaking Vedanta for 7 days, and you have not spoken a word. You have not asked any question, or not agreed or disagreed. So Mahaprabhu said, actually, I'm just a fool. But somehow I've got sannyas. So because you have taught me that a sannyasi's duty, the duty of his ashram, is to listen to Vedanta, and you are a learned scholar, so I'm listening to you. But I don't understand what you are saying at all. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya replied, well, even a person who doesn't understand, ask some questions. Because only by asking questions, then you can properly understand. So Mahaprabhu said, no. The original sutras of the Vedanta Sutra, that I understand very clearly. What I don't understand is your explanations of those sutras, because they are completely wrong. Your explanations of the sutras are like clouds which cover the bright light of the Vedanta sun. The sun can be seen by everybody, but if a black cloud comes and covers the sky, then our vision of the sun is blocked. So your explanations, they cover the real meaning of the Vedanta Sutra. So your explanations are faulty. You are actually imposing an indirect meaning on the Vedanta. You are not taking the direct meaning of the Vedanta Sutra. And then Mahaprabhu went on to explain point by point the basic concepts, including this point about the identity of the Jiva, or what the Jiva Tattva is, that he is a part of the marginal energy of the Lord, and is eternally a part and parcel of the Lord. At the end of the whole discussion, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was overwhelmed. He was stunned and speechless. He did not know what to say. Now he did not have anything to say, because he was truly defeated. And in this case, he was happy to be defeated. Mahaprabhu's mercy transformed his heart, and he became grateful for this defeat. And he surrendered to the feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and became his devotee. So we see that this verse is very important, because it gives us this most important conclusion of the Jiva Tattva being eternally a fragmental portion of the Supreme Lord. And as Prabhupada says in the last portion of the purport, that this fragmental portion is not to be materially conceived. It's not like some materially broken part, the part of a car that comes out and you fix it back, that the Jiva has separated from the Brahman and go and fix it back into the Brahman. Not like that. That the Jiva is eternally a fragmental portion. It remains in its individuality eternally. The Mayavadis, they invoke so many secondary statements to support their thesis. This was one of Mahaprabhu's points to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. He said the main sutra, the main words of the Vedanta or the Vedas are Omkar. But instead of focusing on Omkar, you are focusing on statements like Tattvam Asi, Soham, and so on, which are secondary statements, which have a different meaning. So one of the things they say is Soham, and they chant that also, Soham, Soham, Soham. They, like we do Japa of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, there are some who actually do Japa of Soham. So Soham means Saha Aham, I am He, He meaning the Brahman. So I am He, I am He, I am He. That is how they try to understand their identity. So there is this little joke one time I had heard from a devotee, that this Mayavadi was always saying Soham, Soham, and this devotee was getting very disturbed. So he said, no, it's not Soham, truth is Dasoham. Just put a Da before that and you'll get the truth. So it is Dasoham, not Soham. So the Mayavadi was thinking, he said, no, actually the real truth is you just add a Sa before your statement. Sada Soham, Sada Soham, always I am He. Always I am He. Sada, Sada means always. Soham means I am He. So always I am He. So now the devotee was thinking what to say. He said, well, you had another Da before that. Daso Dasoham. I am the servant of the servant. And that is even more accurate a conception of our identity. And that's exactly what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says. Naham vipro na chanarapati, napi vaishyo na shudro, naham varni na chanarapati, na vanastho yatirva, kintu prodyan nikhala paramananda purna amritabdhe, gopi bhartu padakamalayor dasa dasanu dasaha. Yet I am not a brahmana, kshatriya, vaishya, shudra, neither I am a brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastha, sannyasi. I am simply the servant of the servant of the Lord and Master of the Gopis who makes the entire universe full of bliss and happiness. So our identity really is Daso Dasoham. So we are not just the fragmental portions of Krishna, but we are also servants of the servants of His devotees. That is our real identity. And that is the topmost identity in the universe. And that is the perfection of life. So the perfection of life is not to become God, but the perfection of life is to become the servant of God. And Prabhupada explains that by doing that, one actually becomes greater than God. Because by love, the God is conquered. like Krishna was conquered by the Brajabasis, when the gopis would clap their hands, then he would start dancing. When he was playing the Balila, his childhood pastimes, when Nanda Maharaj would ask for his footwear, his padukas, Krishna would carry the footwear on his head and bring it. So in this way, one becomes a servant of the servant of Lord Krishna. One actually becomes greater than Krishna in Krishna's eyes. Of course, that is not the devotee's calculation. The devotee doesn't plan that I'll become servant of the servant so I can become Super Krishna. That is not his calculation. He genuinely has a spirit of servitude, but Krishna, out of gratitude, he becomes indebted to his devotee and becomes a servant of the devotee. Whereas the Mayavadis, Prabhupada explains, they try to become equal to God, but they can never be so. And they will always be unsuccessful in their attempts. So this is the crux of this verse, that we are eternally fragmental portions of Krishna, and therefore we should dovetail all our energies and propensities in his loving service for his pleasure. Hare Krishna. Any question or comment? Yes. Mic, is there a mic? Yeah.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Sometimes as arguments come that Mayavadis are, if you ask the questions, so what's the definition of the Supreme? So they simply, they said that he is omnipotent and omniscience and omnipresence. And they don't like to accept the form. And they don't want to be.
Yes. But they cannot describe. If you ask them, well, what is he? He's omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient. Yes, we accept that also. We accept. But we want to know, does he look like something? Can you see him? Can you feel him even with spiritual eyes? Does he have a form? Does he not have a form? So we should clearly understand from each person where he stands. Then we will not have a confusion whether this person is speaking, you know, exactly our philosophy, as many devotees initially think. Oh, I saw the such and such Swami speaking on Bhagavad Gita, it was just our philosophy. But it's not like that. So one has to be really cautious. Yes, somebody else said, yeah. Mike, please.
I was reading this teachings of Lord Chaitanya book recently, and I'm again reading it. So when I was going through it, so because it was becoming too much philosophical, and so I was not able to read it properly the way you explained today, the good understanding I got, all these vada, etc., vivartavada, and all these things came in that, but I could not appreciate that time. So in that regard, how should I read this book so that I can better understand, and what should the impetus that so that I can read, because many times mind runs away seeing so much philosophy, etc.
Yeah, you should imagine that you are a student in the school or the college of Krishna consciousness, and just as in your school or college you study the books, similarly you should study the books like this. Keeping a notebook on the side, even if you are 90 years old, doesn't matter, you're still a student. Or if you're 10 years old, sit with the books and you start making notes. Start studying seriously. Whenever you don't understand something, mark it. Maybe you ask some devotees for clarifications. And as you read on, maybe the clarifications will come on their own. So this kind of serious study must be done. It absorbs our mind. We should not shy away from it because it's a little difficult for the intelligence. But we must try to keep ourselves engaged at least for a part of our time, and we must do other services as well. We have to chant the holy name, that is our principal service, and also so many other things. But it is important for us to know this philosophy very clearly so that we remain fixed on this path, and so that we don't get deviated by other things that seem to be exactly our philosophy but are quite separate. other question? Yes, Mike.
Hare Krishna, Bhaji.
Hare Krishna.
Bhaji, what the Mayavadis think about Krishna? Means like when he descends, he has so many powers and we don't have.
Well, the Mayavadis think exactly, as I said, that they also think that Krishna's form is made of Maya. That when Krishna descends into this material world, as he did 5,000 years ago, that his body is material. They think like that. His body is also like our body. Material body. Therefore, all these pastimes of Krishna's disappearance, where you have the story of Jara, that hunter, releasing the arrow and apparently touches the toe of Krishna, who is resting under a tree, as the Yadu princes are killing each other in the family war, and then Krishna dies because of that. So why such things have been related in the first place? The acharyas explain that this is just to bewilder the faithless people. Because devotional service has to be protected from the faithless. The faithful, knowledgeable devotee understands that ultimately Krishna appears and disappears of his own sweet will by his internal potency. His appearance and disappearance has nothing to do with the material energy. He has nothing to do with matter. He comes in his own spiritual form, performs pastimes and leaves, and goes to some other universe, goes back to the spiritual world. So the Mayavadis do not understand this point, because they have no conception of a spiritual form. Prabhupada explains that because they are frustrated with the forms in this material world, they think that form is a cause of suffering. So therefore, to be free from suffering, you have to be free from form. So to have a form means they think it's material. So they have no conception that there could be something called a spiritual form. That understanding is not there. Any other question? Yes, Mother. Can you give a mic, please?
What actually changes in our philosophy? Original Shakti Sadharani, what changes?
What changed?
In our philosophy. Because original Shakti Sadharani, no. Changes energies of, no, energies. Original energies Sadharani.
Okay. Your question is that talking about the transformation of the energies, the Parinambad, what changes? Well, you see, Radharani is the original spiritual energy, potency of the Lord, that is right. And what constitutes this material world? It comes from Mahamaya. This material world is also called Maya. And Mahamaya is a reflection or an expansion of Yogamaya. Yogamaya is in the spiritual world and she is an expansion of Srimati Radharani. So ultimately the material energy is directly coming from Krishna's main energy, which is Srimati Radharani. So Mahaprabhu has also explained that there are different categories of the spiritual potency, but we won't go into that now. But this material energy, all the principles are created in a certain way as explained in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And they are transformed. Just like in a cooking process, we put so many ingredients and we stir and we heat and so on. And this transformation of all the ingredients. So the cook is not getting transformed. The cook still remains the cook. It is only the ingredients that are getting transformed. So in the same way, although the Lord is responsible for the creation of this world, the Lord is not changing. The ingredients out of which he builds up this world, which are made of his shaktis, they change. And these ingredients come about by the joint work of the Supreme Lord in the form of Vishnu and the expansions of the expansion of Srimati Radharani, or the reflections of Srimati Radharani, which is Mahamaya. Is that clear? Yes? Any further doubt? Who belongs to Shiva Shakti? Shiva. The category of Lord Shiva. Shiva is a category in itself. He is also Vishnu, but he is Vishnu who is contacting the modes of nature. So when Vishnu contacts the mode of nature, he is called Shiva, especially the mode of ignorance, because he is in charge of the mode of ignorance. Brahma gives the nice example of the milk and the yogurt. The principle is called vikar. Vikar means that from one truth you get another truth which is dependent on the first truth. So from milk you get yogurt by putting some item like lemon. So the curd is dependent on the milk. At the same time the curd is not different from the milk because its origin is the same. In the same way Lord Shiva, he is Vishnu, but because he is in touch of the material nature, because there is a touch of Maya there, a little drop of lemon, he has become yogurt, he has become a separate identity, which is now considered a separate category than Vishnu Tattva. That is how we understand Lord Shiva. Yes. Actually, Shiva Tattva comes at the level of Mahavishnu and there he is called Shambhu. This is all explained in the Brahma Samhita. And that Shambhu principle manifests in each universe as Shiva. So all these things are described in detail. And who is the companion of Shiva? Is Durga. Right? So Durga is his wife, Lord Shiva's wife. Lord Shiva's wife is Durga, and it is Durga who is Maya. So Lord Shiva is actually the Lord of Maya. And on behalf of Krishna, it is Lord Shiva who acts as the father of the material creation. So he also, yes, has his companion. He is also not alone. He is there with Durga Devi. No, she is not Shiva Tattva. She is Shakti Tattva. Because she is coming from Yoga Maya, who is coming from Radharani. And Lord Shiva is in between Vishnu Tattva and Jiva Tattva. He is in a category like that, but he is very close to Vishnu Tattva. Very close. Is much superior to the jivas. Although Brahma is considered the father of Lord Shiva in this material world. Shiva appeared from Brahma, but actually Shiva is greater than Brahma. He is at a higher level. Okay, so we'll stop here. Yes. One last question.
Prabhupada in this purport explained the cause of condition, state of spirit soul is ignorance.
Yes?
Ignorance.
Ignorance.
This false ego. But in 3rd chapter of 42 verse, Lord says that Indriyani Paranyahu Indriyapya Brahmana Manasastu Param Buddhi Jo Buddhi Parasastu Sam. The spirit soul is more powerful. And even senses, mind and intelligence. But how this false ego covers or dominates the spirit soul, means the spiritual consciousness, how it is possible, which continue our material existence.
Yes, this is because Prabhupada explains the jiva is very tiny. Even though the material energy is inferior, but it is still Krishna's energy. Daivi hi esha gunamai mama maya duratyaya. So it is Daivi Shakti. It is Krishna's Shakti after all. So it is as powerful as Krishna. And the Jiva is not only very tiny, but he is also called Tatastha. That means he is at the borderline. And because of his tiny nature, he has a tendency to be influenced by either side. So there is always a tendency for him to get overwhelmed by the material energy. The moment the Jiva desires something separate from Krishna, then he is caught. What is that verse? Jiva bhoga vancha kore nikatastha maya tare japatiya dhare. Krishna bhulise jiva bhoga vancha kore nikatastha maya tare japatiya dhare. So the moment the jiva forgets Krishna, then nearby maya is standing, catches. Either the jiva has to be under the control directly of Krishna or the spiritual energy or of the material energy. The jiva has only two choices. No third choice. No, it is even Maya is the Lord Shakti that is overwhelming the Jiva. The Jiva succumbs to that. The Jiva becomes controlled by that ignorance, by that Maya. So he becomes ignorant. Just like a person who takes alcohol, he comes under the influence of that alcohol and does so many things. He becomes influenced, although that is not his nature. But because he has come under the influence of that alcohol, now he talks so many things. Like that, it is not the nature of the jiva to be like this, but somehow or the other the jiva comes under the influence of that maya. That maya is Krishna's energy. Daivi Shakti, Daivi hi esha gunamai. This gunamai Shakti, the Shakti consisting of the three modes, has captured the Jiva. Yaya sammohito Jiva, atmanam trigunatmakam, paropi manute inartam, yat kritam chapi patyate. Yaya sammohito Jiva, the Jiva becomes sammohita, it becomes illusioned. Atmanam trigunatmakam, because of the three gunas, of the three modes of nature. Parepi, although it is transcendental, manute anartham, but it imagines itself to be a product of the three modes of nature. So this maya energy of the Lord puts the jiva into a dream-like state. Give another example. A magician can put somebody in hypnosis, right? He can hypnotize somebody and put him in some different state. Like that, Krishna's maya energy hypnotizes the jiva. But you know one peculiar feature of hypnosis? If a psychologist has to hypnotize you, you must first of all be willing for it. Only if you are willingly cooperative, then he can hypnotize you. Similarly, why have we succumbed to maya? Because we want it. The moment you want, maya grabs. Nikatastha mayatara japati yadhare. Quickly, she pounces.
So, Jiva created this maya, but the Lord created
the Lord has created the option for the Jiva to be either under his material energy or the spiritual energy. The facility is created by the Lord, and the Jiva has the option of choosing one of the two. So, as Prabhupada explains in the purport, if he uses his energy properly, then he will take shelter of the spiritual energy. If he misuses the minute independence that the Lord has given him, then he will take shelter of the material energy and he will have to suffer. Okay? Alright, we will stop here. It's quite late. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.